With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. We are late getting back, but happy to be back. How about that, Bulldog? What a pro I am. Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Hello, Sal. How was your day?
Hi, guys.
Sal, you must think you're on the morning show here.
This late
start time.
Wait a minute now. I'm glad you said that and not me.
Hey-o.
Because as much as I love you, Howard, if you're listening, when I first clicked on, you guys were still in your last segment, and it was like 4:59.
Yes, it was.
And Joe says, yeah, sorry, I'll get them out of here in a minute. They're going late. And I said, who do they think they are, Howard Simon?
Yeah, I know. Howard was just here wrapping up his show a few minutes ago. He just walked out. Good to see him, though.
Yeah, it was nice.
What is the news of the day? We have Mitch Morse ruled out for Friday and certain other players, including one of the punters.
Yeah, Corey Carter. He had knee soreness the other day, and he was not practicing. So, again, looks like he's not going to be playing in this one out right now. Mitch Morse out. So we'll see if Morse is going to play. Same thing with guys like Ty Nsekhe. We'll see what is going to happen there. And I think he actually said Nsekhe might not be playing here. But, we're going to obviously have to wait on Friday maybe for a few guys to see if they're actually able to play Jerry Hughes, Jason Kroom, among those guys.
Yeah. If Morse isn't going to play, we already know that. So there's only one more preseason game, and the starters very rarely play much, if any, of that game. A lot of them don't even dress for that game anymore. Do you think, because of the summer he's had to this point, that they might want to put him in a game just to get him through a game condition before the opener, or would they be cautious there?
I think they'd be cautious. I think that they would use practice as that tune-up, even though you're not really going, really head-to-head kind of in the same physical nature as you would be in a game. I just think there's too much risk that would outweigh the reward for doing something like that. And he can get, all of that work in without actually having to bang his head against somebody, basically. And I would, sure, they could do that. But again, are you going to put him into that last preseason game with a couple of guards next to him that aren't going to make the team maybe, or, that aren't of that, starting caliber? I just think that it's probably not really worth what could come out of that.
Did you happen to be listening today at 3?
No, I turned on you guys maybe 3:11, something like that. I listened for a little while at that.
Okay, you heard some of it then. Yeah, you weren't waiting to go on. 3:11, I hope. You weren't waiting for us.
No, I wasn't. I got in my car. Okay. I was at the stadium, and I got in the car a little after your show started.
Okay. So you heard most of that conversation about the preseason. Bulldog is like, look, I mean, we both were thinking about Indianapolis, and they are not using their starters in this game either. He's mentioned already in this conversation how the fourth game has deteriorated, and we've lived through that. Are we at a new stage here, Sal, in how teams are handling the whole thing?
Yeah, I think so. We're seeing it around the league. We're seeing teams basically rest guys more and more, and it seems like 4 preseason games already was a little too much, and now maybe even 3 is becoming like they're just not. You don't want to put your guys at risk, so I think we're seeing more and more teams kind of rest guys like that. Rex did this a couple of years ago, if I remember right. Maybe even the third game he didn't use them. If you guys remember, like, he didn't even play anybody. He had like 30 guys that sat out in preseason game number 2, and I think he kind of just rested everybody pretty much for the entire preseason, if I remember right. That was 1 year he did that. So I don't think it's necessarily a new phenomenon. What I do think is happening is it's more widespread, and more coaches are basically saying, I'm just getting through the preseason, and I'm going to get what I need from practice, and then these guys will be ready week 1.
Yeah. I wonder what that means in the big scheme of things. You know, like, well, you know, the league is looking at 18 games and a seventh playoff team and decreasing the preseason. And like, I know that'll all get hashed out in the CBA. Like, it's all to be negotiated, I think, is how I would view all that stuff. So that'll be determined. But it strikes me today, I thought of it this way, Sal, that it's a little bit like how the Pro Bowl, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago, we'd make fun of the Pro Bowl and how it looks like they're not even trying. And then about 5 years after that, they really, really weren't trying. Like, I bet if you go back and look at a Pro Bowl from 10 years ago, it looks more like regular football than it does now.
It looks like the Ice Bowl.
Right. It's just, it's just, once everyone just sort of agreed, like, they're accused of not trying, guess what? You're right, we're not. We're really not gonna. Let's, like, amp up our not trying. I think that's what's happening to the preseason here.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I don't know where that seed change came from. You know, maybe just it took a couple coaches to kind of take that initiative and do that, and maybe it started somewhere. Maybe there were just a few too many injuries for certain coaches, and they wanted to lay back, and they didn't do that. And now people are starting to catch on to do it that way. And then let's remember, too, that there are more of these controlled scrimmages going on, if you will, the more of the dual practices. They're, you know, I think I counted 12 of those this year, maybe even 14, something like that in that area. But the teams are getting more of that stuff in and controlling the environment rather than having, you know, these preseason games where anything could go wrong. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. And as far as the CBA is concerned, I don't know where it's all going to settle. I'm pretty confident they're going to reduce preseason games probably to three right now. I don't think two is going to wind up happening just from listening to things. I don't know if they'll increase regular season. I think somewhere along the line you'll probably get what you just said, Bulldog, which is give an extra expansion, get an extra playoff team in there and decrease the preseason by one game. And that might be the compromise that they go with there.
But there's no chance that will happen by next week, right? So we will be out there next week.
Right, that Viking game is coming no matter what.
That's fine. It should be a nice day. It should be warm. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. What's the latest at tight end?
Boy, I tell you what, guys. If you would have told me 3 months ago that the Bills are going to line up week one and their tight ends are going to wind up being Tommy Sweeney and Nate Becker, I'd laugh at you. But that is a possibility at this point. I think Tommy Sweeney is almost a lock now to make the team, if not be the starting tight end on week one for the team. Now, sure enough, they could go with Lee Smith as a blocker, but you know what I mean. I think Tommy Sweeney is going to have a big role come week one for this team. Jason Kroom, he just has not been healthy, and he's not been putting himself in a good position because of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't survive final cuts because they just haven't had him available to be available to evaluate him. Dawson Knox is going to make the team in some capacity, whether he's on some list or he's ready to go. And maybe they don't activate him week one. They just went ready for him to be out there. And then you have Tyler Croft, and there are some options available to him. You could put him on the reserve pup list, and he's not available for 6 weeks to start the season. And at this point, that's probably something that is more likely than not. So I think they go into week one, and your tight ends are going to wind up being Tommy Sweeney, Lee Smith, and then maybe Nate Becker or Dawson Knox, and you just don't necessarily put him in the game, or you have him, maybe he's just the inactive guy and you go with two guys.
Tommy Sweeney was pick 228 in this year's draft. In fact, he was picked three picks after Daryl Johnson, who has looked good too, right? Defensive end. And Sweeney would have been the second tight end picked by the Bills. They got the draft pick from Carolina. Is that Seymour? What was the seventh round pick?
Yeah, that's right. That was the Kevon Seymour trade. That's right, yes.
So they could end up, I don't know what you think about Johnson's chances, but it seems like there's some chance they could end up with 2 7th round picks on the roster.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's harder to make this roster right now, but with the injuries, that doesn't, the guys like Tommy Sweeney have more of a chance, but Daryl Johnson's made his own hay here. You know, I mean, he doesn't have injuries in front of him. He's just a guy that's going out there and he's showing what he can do. And I do think it gives credit to the scouting department to be able to find guys like that, especially a guy like Daryl Johnson, who comes from North Carolina A&T. And, you know, most people don't think that you're going to be, there aren't many guys from the NFL that come from that school, even that conference. And to say, like, we're going to take a chance, not just as an undrafted free agent, but to use a draft asset on a guy like that. And then he comes in and, you know, he can make your roster sometimes it might say a lot about your roster, but I think in this case it says a lot about the player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Johnson has really flashed. I think. I mean, who knows? You know, they're going to do what they're going to do here with the cutdown, and there is competition, but it feels to me like it would be very surprising if he didn't make it at this point. I want to just circle back. Do you agree with that real quick, by the way?
I do, but I think... you know, with him, and you look at the roster, and you look at the defensive ends, he is the guy that really could be much more of the special teams guy than the others. And I think that's what really gives him the edge.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, Eddie Yarbrough can play on special teams if you wanted to keep him. And you know, but Shaq Lawson's not really that kind of guy. And I'm thinking Mike Love can play on special teams, but this guy's athleticism and his length, Bulldog,
yeah.
He really gives him an advantage to put him on multiple special teams.
Yeah, I wanted to circle back to Knox here because it felt like, you know, as the spring was turning into summer and camp was just going to get going, it felt like he was someone that fans, I think, would have been interested in seeing if they were going to go out to Rochester. And then, of course, when these preseason games started, because he felt like kind of a surprise of the spring. Like, oh, he didn't hardly catch the ball at Ole Miss, but you should see him. He's pretty athletic and all this. And then we just never got to see him. I'm wondering if you could just give us kind of a synopsis on what the Bills may have in their third-round tight end. Or was it third round? They traded
back into
the third round. Yeah, right.
And he is a guy who is an athlete. He was a quarterback. He actually backed up Chad Kelly at Ole Miss before they moved him to tight end full time. He did not have the production. And again, I think a lot of people pointed to that and said, wait a minute, come on, where's the production from this? Had a lot of pass catchers at, you know, Ole Miss, including DK Metcalf, obviously. But they had guys who, you know, they threw the ball to instead of the tight end. He didn't have that type of production, but he's always been an athletic kind of new age type of tight end that you look for. But because he didn't have the production, he didn't have all the film available on tape, I think that, you know, people necessarily didn't know who he was. I really, really was impressed with him, though, when he got his opportunities. And I think eventually he is going to be tight end one on this team. It's probably by the end of this season, if he's healthy enough. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be week 5? Is it going to be week 10? But at the end of this season, when we are talking about, you know, what's projecting into 2020, I think we're all putting Dawson Knox as tight end one, and I think that really creates an issue about what we're doing here with Tyler Kroft. And now, granted, you can still have him on the roster, but they paid him pretty good money here. He hasn't been healthy, but at the end of the day, I think that Tyler Kroft might wind up being the one guy we look at from this free agent class, guys, and we're saying, you know, that was probably not good money spent in the end because they have Dawson Knox, and he just wasn't able to stay healthy.
All right. Traveling tomorrow?
Traveling tomorrow to Detroit, yes.
You going through Canada?
I'm not going through Canada. Well, the plane might actually skip through like Canadian airspace
definitely,
a little bit. I mean,
yeah. Definitely should. Know. Definitely
I think
should
that
do
that. That might happen. Staying in Troy, though. Have you ever stayed in Troy, Michigan?
No.
I'm sure I haven't, no.
No. I don't.
You were just there.
I was just there. I was northeast. I never even really got to Detroit. Owen did during the week that he was there. Went to a Tigers game, and then his mom brought him home through Detroit. But I went through Sarnia, which is about an hour northeast of Detroit. So I was in Auburn Hills, and I saw the old where the Silver Dome used to be in Pontiac.
Yeah.
So I was in that area, like up even the Palace at Auburn Hills is now like, you know, no longer the home of the Pistons.
Right.
But I was out in that area. So
I've only been to one NBA game ever, and it was in Detroit. It was maybe about 6-7 years ago, and it was the Wizards and the Pistons. And I think I got tickets for about $15 to sit about 5 rows up because they both stunk so bad
at the Palace.
I happened to be there. You know, I don't think it was. I don't think it was at the Palace. Where do they play now? What's the arena they play now?
They play at the new hockey arena. So
Little Caesars?
Yeah, they transitioned into there when that opened, so it's only been a couple of years that they left the Palace.
Hey, Sal, you know what game I saw You know what game I was at the Palace at Auburn Hills? Syracuse, Michigan State in the tournament. Mateen Cleaves,
Jason Hart for Syracuse. Syracuse had a good team that year. They had a horrible draw to have to go play Michigan State.
Yep. Third round. They had a 17-point lead. Syracuse had a 17-point lead. Morris Peterson.
That was
I sat next to Mateen Cleaves' mother in that game for that game.
That was a great Michigan State team, by the way, too.
Yeah, they won the tournament. The extra press, you know, like you go to some of these things and you don't quite rate, so you're like the extra the auxiliary press.
Mm-hmm.
Until I watched the Brett Hull game too from the auxiliary press. And so I was the last seat on the right on auxiliary press, and his mom was to my right. So I was right next to the moms.
Were you covering it for Rochester?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was. It was a great year. That is a year I will never. I've never forgotten it. I remember the details. I could name all the teams from the Cleveland region in the first round, and then Buffalo on Friday was the Bobby Knight versus Pepperdine was the next night, same year, and then back to Cleveland, and then back to Buffalo. Those four games, all those 4 days, all for the tournament, and then the next year Detroit, and Detroit was Iowa State and maybe UCLA. Not sure. Steve Lavin. I think that's right. I think the other side of that was Michigan, was Iowa State, UCLA.
I just told you, Jason Hart was a good player on that team. He actually came around and became a nice point guard. He was a senior point guard on that team. But the guy for Syracuse who became, he actually had a nice NBA career, was Etan Thomas, the center. Okay, yeah. He was on that team as well. So I like that Syracuse team. I always felt that they got kind of hosed to have to play Michigan State where they did, or maybe they would have made some more noise in that tourney.
And that was Ryan Blackwell, too.
That's right.
Who was from Pittsburgh. Probably why I was there. Okay. Thanks, Sal. Have a good trip.
All right, guys. Thanks.
And Sal Capaccio, his appearance with us brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Didn't ask Sal about trade vetoing. That was a hot topic, it turns out, last hour. Did you enjoy that? Vetoing trades?
I'm sorry. Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Joe. Like I always do when it's about this. Joe's the one who answers. But, you know, we got a lot of calls on that. People have strong opinions. You've been in leagues where there was collusion, or perhaps there was collusion, and maybe somebody didn't do anything. The guy was, he didn't rip off his grandma, but his dad thought he did, and that got complicated there. We heard from the guy and the dad who thought, they disagreed on whether grandma had been taken advantage of.
I did enjoy thinking about grandma being in the car, and she sadly wasn't, but I did enjoy that call.
And by the way, this year, for the first time, I am doing a family league that's free. So, like, my son will have a team, and other kids will have teams, and there could be trades like that. But in this league, it's got to be like anything goes. When you don't play for money, anything goes. Maybe we'll put a trophy out there, maybe, but... I told you, like Julius.
Oh, yeah, you got to get a trophy for the kids. Like, they got to have something to be playing for. Yeah, for sure.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Did the kids put their lineups in? They're going to have to. Like, that's the deal. You got to put your lineups in. I'm thinking very small rosters. Like, six guys and then maybe four bench. Just a small operation for the family league.
Yeah. You got to man it. You got to do what you think is right there.
There can't be collusion in that.
I wonder how poorly things would go if I left any of the stuff. There's not a lot. I've only got this one dopey team. But Owen, my son Owen, and I co-own it. And if I left it up to him to take care of all the stuff, like whether anything would get done or we just would have injured guys playing.
What do you think would happen? You think he would just neglect it?
He's pretty busy.
That's important.
He probably would,
And I appreciate, and I'm not surprised by this, you being mindful of that because that can ruin a season. That can mess with the league.
Right.
If somebody drops interest.
I don't need another thing to be reminding him about, you know? Like, clean up your room. What time's your workout? Did you bench Keenan Allen? No, that's not making the list of things that I want
right.
to be bringing up to my high school senior-aged son.
No, I think, Joe, that's all reasonable.
I think I got this. I'll have to continue handling it.
You don't want to have to tell him this.
Right.
You got enough to tell him.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I do think, I was looking at their calendar, I think he should be able to make the draft, though. I don't think he's got anything going on the night of the draft.
Good.
So that will be fun. He's probably just got to get up at like 6 in the morning to go skate the next day, but yeah, whatever, he's young.
But if my wife's at like 3 and 6, and she just hands our son Christian McCaffrey, that's right. going to be a problem.
Right. You can't,
that can't be allowed. I don't need him anymore. I'm out of it.
Julius to do well here.
Yeah, I'll give him Christian McCaffrey.
No, you can't have that. No.
I've got a take on McCaffrey coming up.
Okay.
Oh, everybody's like, woo, everybody slammed on the brakes.
Well, actually,
I'm going to hang around for this.
I'm really, I know this is going to be jarring. I'm not really patronizing you here. having the second pick in the draft, I'm very curious to hear your take on Christian
McCaffrey. Okay, and I'm eager to tell you. 803-0550. No vetoes in fantasy leagues. You don't need them. If there's collusion, step in. That's what I think. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back with the update on WGR.
Mahomes is a completely different deal. Josh Allen's not Mahomes. He's not going to be Mahomes. That's not reasonable. Mahomes is generational. But I'm telling you, is that same guy who's been pretty consistent on that the whole time, he has Pro Bowl talent. He does. If he continues to develop and gets good coaching, he can lead you on a deep playoff run. I believe in that.
Therese Paylor of Yahoo. You see what I'm drinking?
I know.
What does it smell like?
I don't smell anything.
Joe? Joe's in a different room.
Yeah, I'm in a different room.
That's why that's funny. That's why that's funny. So
I don't notice anything.
I reached into the box that has the little coffee cups, and then you put the thing in the machine and push down and push the button, and then coffee comes out.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the other kind, the other machine where you have to put the filter in. And,
right, yeah,
this is just like a solo cup, like a Keurig, although I'm not sure it is a Keurig. I think it is,
Knock-off Keurig? Okay.
I think it is, actually. Right. But I just reached into the box and put it in, and I knew I was kind of like a little pressed for time, which proved to be true as I was not here for the beginning of the update. What? Are you trying to figure out what it is?
No, I'm trying to smell. I'm starting to move around the room here and see if I notice any scent in the air.
Is there wafting here? Let me just, Joe, I'm just going to brush my hand over.
Okay, no, you
that,
have.
Is that working?
You made it. Yes, it is. You made tea. Did you make tea by mistake?
So I put the thing in because it's always coffee, and then what comes out? Not coffee. So I'm like, I guess I got tea. And then I looked at the extra few seconds that made me late. I looked at the box, hot apple cider.
Okay.
Wow.
Is there going to be booze in this? That wouldn't be here then, right?
No, there's no chance there's booze.
So that's what I've got. I've got hot apple cider right now. It smells good.
Like
you can't smell it, but it's good.
It's not hot apple cider flavored tea. It's actually just hot apple cider.
As far as I know, I mean.
Wow. All right.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
I feel like a hot apple cider flavored tea would just be very close and similar to hot apple cider itself.
Probably, but it would, I don't know.
Me too.
I'm really asking.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, you needed to do that thing where you're spreading the scent around the room. Now I smell it.
I do like it. It wasn't what I wanted, but I do like it. You ever have that happen at a restaurant? I didn't order that, but it's good. I'll keep it.
Surely it's happened, yeah. I don't have a specific example, but I'm sure it's happened.
All right, so we've talked a lot of Bills today, of course. We had a couple of guests. We talked in the last hour about whether your fantasy league should have a mechanism for vetoing trades. I say the answer is no to that, but of course a lot of leagues do have that. I don't think you should need it. All you need is a commissioner with, like, some leadership. And if there's not collusion, it's just, like, what is looked at as a bad trade, then you got to let it go, I think. But that's just my opinion. And then we talked with Sal. So I mentioned Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, right.
Joe, too. Like, I am kind of solid right now on Kamara over McCaffrey.
Yep. I've been there basically all summer, I would think.
Okay.
Barkley,
then Kamara, then McCaffrey.
Okay. And that's the minority view, I believe. McCaffrey is... Barkley versus McCaffrey is like 80-20 Barkley, I would say.
Okay.
Then McCaffrey-Kamara is maybe 70-30 McCaffrey. But I like Kamara over McCaffrey this year, and here's why. Last year, going into the season, remember what Carolina was? They had Norv Turner. Remember watching Norv Turner run out of the tunnel at the stadium? Like, wow, he's taller than I thought. Like Norv Turner, and Norv Turner was talking about how much volume they were going to give McCaffrey, and fantasy people scoffed at it, and he kind of did it. I mean, McCaffrey had all the work. And, like, he never came off the field, this guy. And he never got hurt. Like, he had a season where, you know, it was just amazing like that. And he was very impressive, of course. So the durability, the volume, everything was perfect for a fantasy player because that's what you need. And before the season, people were making fun of Carolina for saying that. Like, they were really not going to look how, because McCaffrey is not that big.
Mm-hmm.
So how is he going to be able to take the workload and everything? But they did it. And so you've had McCaffrey last year. It was a home run.
Right.
Now
it's like 800 yards receiving or something, or 100 catches, over 100 catches, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it was a monster. Yeah.
So now, I mean, I think you have to, I think you want to remember that there were those questions about the durability in the first place. And I would think, too, there's a few things that make me think I want to go slow on him. The Panthers have talked about possibly finding someone else for goal line, and that's big in this.
Mm-hmm.
Newton is maybe healthy. Last year, he was really limited and then eventually shut down. And I think, like, if Newton and their passing offense improves, I mean, I don't think I want to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey 130 times. You know, I should want to use DJ more, use Curtis Samuel.
It might make sense that if you knew you were nursing a quarterback with a sore shoulder that, and you had a running back who could make good things happen if you threw him the ball, you put those two things together and that's your best case scenario. It's not going to tax my quarterback. It won't even expose his injury as much. Maybe people will take note of it. He's thrown it to the running back a lot, but maybe we can hide. We can survive a little longer before the word is completely out that, like, he is just throwing balls in the dirt. Throw these easy passes to this guy. Sure, if he's healthy, you probably want to get back to getting it down the field some. He's got a big arm.
Yeah, like, Allen is compared with Newton.
Yeah.
And that isn't because Josh Allen throws the ball to the flat all the time. McCaffrey is more than just, like, a safety valve, but
yep.
These little points, including those, make me want to be careful on McCaffrey. And, you know, he's not a big guy. And I don't know what their vision of the future is. You could look at what's going on in the league and the running back conversation and take that in either direction if you're trying to predict how a team will use a player like this. So you could think either that Carolina will run him into the ground,
mm-hmm,
or that they would just try to be a little bit more careful than they were, which is like using other guys. There's
right.
No obvious second running back with the Panthers, though. And that is another reason why you like McCaffrey over Kamara, because Kamara has always had the other guy.
Now it's a different other guy this year.
It's
right?
A different other guy.
Ingram is gone.
Right. It's Latavius Murray.
Right.
So what do you think happens with Kamara? I feel like the last 2 years, his volume is the minimum it could be. I mean, he is super efficient, catching the ball too, but they just don't use him all the time because of Ingram. They had Ingram.
Right.
And they went out, they lost Ingram to free agency, as kind of was predicted, and they brought in Latavius Murray, and I don't know if he's Ingram. I don't think he's as good, but it might not matter if you're trying to predict what the Saints are planning on doing. So either Kamara has the same volume this year, or he has more. McCaffrey either has the same this year or he has less. And if I added the whole thing up, I think I like Kamara a little more.
I'm committing all of this to memory.
So, and you have the second pick.
I have the second pick, yeah. I'm assuming Dan Cave is going to take Barkley because, like you said, like it's that's there's nobody really arguing that anyone should go ahead of him. So if Dan does that, then I've got a decision to make on the next pick there, and I appreciate this about Kamara. I thought right away when they lost Ingram, I thought that would be good for – like, and I'm not studying this stuff, and I'm not listening to Chris Liss and Jeff Erickson on podcasts. Did I get both names right?
Yeah.
Okay. I am following them on Twitter. That's how I
– You so, are.
Jeff, anyway. I don't think I follow Chris.
Okay.
But I know we've had both of those guys on multiple times. The that Murray is not Ingram, and that should be good for Kamara. But that's just me as a football fan back in March going, oh, yeah, that's going
to
work.
I would think that the Saints would have to, if he's not as good or he's not as effective, the Saints would expect him. They signed him. Mm-hmm. I think my guess would be that going into the season, they use Murray like they use Kamara, like they use Ingram, rather. But then in the course of the season, perhaps they do less of that.
Right.
That is sort of what I think may happen with the mm-hmm. Saints. But Kamara, the thing against him, it's not even really against him, it's just the touchdowns and the efficiency is so off the charts that people might think that that can't be repeated. He's had two amazing years, and there's just no injury issue with him either. Like, I don't have, you know, an old injury or anything to worry about. Not that it can't happen, but I'm there.
That's what people thought, though, about Michael Thomas there, too. Like, after 2 years, his catch percentage was just off the charts.
Last year, he blew away the all-time record.
Like, for the first 2 years, I remember hearing last year, like, this guy can't sustain this catch percentage. This guy can't sustain this. He can't sustain catching 100 balls on 140 targets. And then last year, he actually did even better. He had 125 on 147, which is just insane. So maybe it's just that offense is just so efficient and so productive that these guys that have off-the-chart numbers can sustain that because the offense around them allows them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Thomas got paid, if that matters. You know, they were frustrating.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thomas was great to have, but you just did not get the touchdowns. Like, they didn't throw the ball to him, relatively speaking, very often in the end zone. It was week after week, Joe. It was Taysom Hill, and it was Keith Kirkwood, and it was Tre'Quan Smith. And then it was like four different tight ends. Who are they? Josh somebody.
There's a Kirkwood somewhere there.
I said Keith Kirkwood. Yes. Yeah, Kirkwood. I mean, like Ted Ginn. Just, you know, they had so many.
Dan Arnold is a tight end.
Dan Arnold. Bulldog.
I don't know who that
Pick
is.
Pick him second overall. That might smash for you. Like that's the dream. That's the team you want to be. You want to just have like all these guys, and it's funny when they score touchdowns because like this guy hasn't scored yet. Just what kind of life is that? Wouldn't that be a great way to live, where you just have all these different guys? You know, maybe more so than any other team for this, the Saints.
Yeah,
the last couple of years, last few years, just amazing. Yeah. Who's that? Who dat is what I should have said. Who dat?
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's what you say about the Saints.
Yep.
Right, Joe? I'm just a guy drinking hot cider. What do I know? I'm just drinking this. I made it.
Not the same as Who Day, which is the Bengals.
That's the Bengals. Who Day is the Bengals. That's right. This guy knows his football. That's why he's got a show. 7-9.
Yep. Who Day and Who Dat. See, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I ever differentiated one from the other.
Really?
I just might have. I might have always just never really connected that they had. I think in my head I thought, well, they both have the same thing. Why do they have the same thing? That's stupid. But it was merely me. I'm stupid. They're not the ones who are stupid. I was lazy. I wasn't doing the work.
And now you know.
You can only care about so many things.
I mean, that's right.
Who dat and who day. I don't.
You didn't need to.
I don't need to differentiate, really.
You're fine without.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. An essay on the second overall pick in your draft. Probably second. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
If he's looking to, you know, supercharge his market value, I don't know if playing here does that. I think there's, you know, I mean, I've heard the rumors that he's waiting for a team to make a move. I do think there's some interest in him. I think Arizona's had interest in him. And I do wonder about Buffalo. Like, if they do make the Ristolainen move, I wonder if that's a possibility. I just don't know if it's going to be as big as he hoped for it to be.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 590, Toronto on Jake Gardner. That's right, Jake Gardner.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened yet.
All these RFAs, that's a UFA that is high quality.
Yeah. So, there are plenty of those left, too. Unrestricted.
I would do that in a minute. I'm definitely interested in it. I mean, cost, term, you get back issue. So there's a couple buyer bewares there, but nothing that would really slow me down, especially this late in free agency. Like, I don't think he's going to get some whopper of a 6-year deal or something at this point. So I like the cost. I like the cost too. I think you can probably do pretty well there.
Did you wake up today looking for a Sabre trade? Because I forgot to. I did not.
I did. And I thought to tweet like, oh, well, you know, there's still a long day ahead of us. But now here it is. It's almost 6 o'clock and still nothing. But
no, once again, nothing.
I did. Yeah. And I'll do it again tomorrow.
Tomorrow is your last chance to talk about it on the air until September.
Right.
Unless you come in or call in or something.
Right. Well, I mean, I could. You never know.
You could do that.
There's no chance that's happening.
There are certain days when that would be better than others. Like when the Bills are playing. Like Friday isn't the best for it. I'd still take it, though.
Sure.
If trading Ristolainen meant I would come in on Saturday night for 2 hours to host, I would take it.
Right.
I love the team that much. I would, for anything.
And that trade idea so much, yeah, right.
Just let's have that. And I'll come in for 2 hours. That's probably not three, but for two, I would do it.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
Exactly right.
I mean, I don't want to just slough off 2 hours. Joe grinds through 2 hours by himself every night here. So I don't want to just say, but you know, 2 hours, it's the one long segment each hour, and then you're fine. You're a piece of cake.
Yeah, not that bad.
When you do the math.
Right.
All right.
That's fine.
Let's play a game. Let's play a game after sports. Let's get out on time. 803-0550 to comment on anything. We've talked about. Pretty much to maybe be able to do that. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.